Welcome back to the One Short Podcast, Sports Gazette's official cricket podcast, and welcome to our review of the India v England series. It's been an amazing series in India. India have won it by 4 tests to 1, convincing win in the end, but England have a lot of positives to take from it. We've just finished the fifth test, and we're going to start off by talking about that. I'm joined by Toby and Ayush, got to say. Ayush, how are you doing? You feeling a bit better after your illness on the weekend?
Yeah, no, still not entirely, but yeah, doing a little bit better now, thank you. And yeah, with a lot of cricket coming up, WPL, IPL as well. We're gradually approaching the summer here in England as well. It doesn't feel like that to me yet with this weather, but yeah, I can see it coming soon. So yeah, excited for the lot of cricket in the summer as well.
Yeah, one man who isn't fazed by the weather, though. Toby, still got his shorts
Never.
on. How you doing,
Of
Toby?
course. Yeah, I'm good, thanks. Yeah, I mean, as Aish mentioned, I think it's about 3 weeks till the county championship starts here, and it is tipping it down outside right now, as you would expect. But yeah, it should be. I mean, quite happy now that the England series is over. We can forget about that one, and we can move on to what will hopefully be a successful summer.
Yes. So let's get straight into it and talk about the fifth test. Obviously, it didn't last very long. India won by an innings and 64 runs. Crawley and Duckett got England off to a good start, but after Ollie Pope got stumped running halfway down the pitch, England just crumbled. The middle order collapsed again for England. We went from 175 for 3 to 175 for 6. Bairstow, Root, and Stokes were the guilty parties there. Those three being, along with Jimmy Anderson, England's most senior players. Toby, what happened there? And what do you make of the middle order's performance throughout this series?
Yeah, it's been really disappointing, the middle order. They seem to have all struggled. Joe Root somewhat found some form, I guess you could say, in the last couple matches, but nothing what we would have expected from Joe Root, particularly Joe Root a couple of years ago when he could do no wrong and was scoring thousands of runs in a calendar year. But yeah, none of them really seemed to really grow into the series. Stokes started off strong and just faltered out. Don't really know what was going on. It wasn't even like it was Ashwin taking him apart as well. He just kept sort of falling to different bowlers and didn't look really like the batter we've known him to be over the last few years. Root, I think, as you mentioned, got better throughout the series, and perhaps if it started a bit better and was playing like he did when he got that great hundreds just a couple of weeks ago, then perhaps he maybe could have grown into the series. England had a better chance, but yeah, he seemed to struggle as well. And Johnny Bairstow has had a lot of cameos. I mean, he's got a lot of 20s, a lot of 30s in the series. But yeah, he's really struggled otherwise. He's not got his 50 yet, and not really sort of shown why he should maybe keep his place for the upcoming summer.
Yeah, it was definitely a disappointing series for Bairstow, but he did make his 100th appearance, 100th test appearance, which is obviously an amazing milestone. And he did look good in glimpses, Bairstow, I think. I think, yeah, he just struggled to break past that kind of 30 mark, didn't he? I think he definitely looked better than Ben Folkes with the bat. But Ayush, what do you make of that kind of conundrum that England have? I mean, we'll touch on it more later, but with Harry Brooke kind of in the selection pool as well, what do you make of that kind of conundrum that England have going forward?
Yeah, it's tough. I mean, of course, with Harry Brooke is someone you really can't keep out, especially after the way he started his international, but specifically test career. I think he would definitely be playing if not for his absence from the series. He would definitely have been playing in the 11. But yeah, given how the middle order has faltered, of course, it's really tempting to gonna go back to him. But with a home summer coming up. Of course, the next assignments are at home. You are still tempted to play Johnny Bairstow because you will see some really special knocks from him in home conditions, especially. He struggled a lot this series, had a couple of, yeah, I mean, as Toby mentioned, just throughout the middle order, it just wasn't
just really wasn't clicking. Something was missing big time for England. Bairstow as well could have taken up a lot of onus. Stokes, we know, even though his performance of the bat was really bad, he's there to stay because he's the captain and he's Ben Stokes. But with Bairstow, yeah, with Harry Brook coming in, you just see that if Ben Foulkes will keep the gloves, then Johnny Bairstow has to sit out. Or then for the home tests, Johnny Bairstow takes the gloves, Foulkes sits out, and you get to play both Harry Brook and Johnny Bairstow. So I don't know how they'll go with it, but I'd definitely play Harry Brook. Really good batter, exciting, and he is the guy you're basing your future on, right? You want to build your batting around someone like him. So with a lot of the players also kind of nearing the end, or at least maybe entering the twilight phases of their careers, most of the guys in that middle order, Harry Brook, really want to give him a lot more chances. So yeah, it's been disappointing. I don't know how they'll do it, because you don't want to miss out on the explosiveness, the baz ball explosiveness of Johnny Bairstow, especially in home conditions. But somewhere, somehow, Harry Brook has to come.
Yes, it's a tough one, isn't it? I mean, stay with you, Ayush, and talk about India a little bit. Their performance in the fifth test. Kuldeep was probably the standout player, Kuldeep Yadav. I mean, he was the reason we had that middle order collapse, taking those crucial wickets. Bowled really well. Obviously, two centuries from Rohit and Shubman Gill as well, who have also kind of grown into the test as it's gone on. But yeah, what did you make of India's performance in that fifth test?
Yes, so good, so dominant. I think somewhere, I don't know, just felt like England just, I mean, after losing the series, they were not really, really in it with some of the batting, especially in that fifth test. But yeah, I think India really dominant. They had, I mean, they were just playing without any fear in that fifth test because the series was done. They didn't have that to worry about. So they just went out there, played fearless cricket. I think they just knew the conditions a lot better than England in Dharamshala, because even we were talking about it, a lot of people would have, I mean, Dharamshala, we've seen in the past as well, has spin has played its role. Kuldeep especially himself on debut, because I think this is the ground where he made his test debut against Australia a few years ago. So he did come into that game as well. He had a good role to important role to play on debut. So like I was saying, spin has played a role here, but again, we expected pacers to have a lot more contribution at Dharamshala. But yeah, just I think India just read the conditions better. Their spinners were just fantastic, led by Kuldeep, Ashwin as well, particularly in that second inning. So yeah, I think it was just brilliant overall. Rohit Sharma, Shubman Gill, everyone confident. And just piling on the runs. And I think, yeah, just clinical. That's all I can say for the performance in that fifth test.
Yeah, it kind of looked like the England players just wanted to go home, really, didn't it? They
Yeah, yeah.
sort of gave up. It felt like apparently they had a good night out at the end of the series, so it obviously didn't affect them too much. But one amazing story from that fifth test: Ben Stokes bowling again, and he got Rohit Sharma with his first ball. I mean, it was an amazing delivery. Rohit Sharma was set on 110, around 110, and yeah, Ben Stokes' first ball. Toby, how important do you think him bowling again is to his overall performance? Because he didn't do very well with the bat, did he, this series? And he do you think his mindset kind of changes when he's bowling? Because he's more involved in the game, you know. He doesn't have to think like a batter. Do you think it will help him if he's back bowling in the summer?
Yeah, I think so. I think it's almost more important to the balance of England as well. Just the fact you actually have someone in the top six who can give you a few overs, which England have relied a lot on Joe Root this series, which has obviously probably had negative effects on Joe Root, who's had to bowl 20, 30 overs a game for at least the first few matches. And I think it'll also help Ben Stokes, the fact that he probably feels less like a one-trick pony in the way that if he doesn't score any runs, he knows he can take wickets. And he can kind of combine those skills together, which I think will really, the kind of player he is, I think it will really help him and really give him confidence in the fact that he now knows he can help his team in so many more ways, which I think means so much to him. You look at when England were knocked out of the World Cup in November or whenever it was, October, and we just looked really, really bad the whole series. And everyone said Ben Stokes needs to go home, get his surgery, and he'll be fit and ready to go earlier. But he refused because he wanted to stay out there, and didn't want to leave his teammates, and didn't want to leave them on their own without him and a man down, and without his kind of figure in the changing room. And that does show exactly what kind of player he is. He doesn't put himself first, which is another argument in itself, in the fact that maybe if he'd gone home a few weeks early, he could have been out in India and ready to bowl a few weeks earlier, and could have maybe had a more of an impact with the ball in the third test match, in the fourth test match, whatever it might have been. But yeah, I think it really is interesting, the fact that I think he now be able to grow into it, and will be back to his old self hopefully this summer.
Yeah, with Stokes, I mean, in that fifth test, he comes back. I think it's the first time he bowled after what, 8, 9 months, was it? Since the Ashes last year. And there's absolutely no warm-up deliveries or anything like that. First delivery is an absolute peach. I think one of the top three deliveries of the entire match. And a well said Rohit Sharma. I was just telling Michael that, a well-set Rohit Sharma can't be, it's difficult to dismiss him even on a ranked turner. Even spinners probably will, struggle to get him out on ranked turners if he's set. And Ben Stokes, bowling for the first time in a long time, comes in and bowls that delivery. I don't want to sound like I'm reading too much into it, but that's what he can do. He can do that, even if he's not bowling much because of his knee or whatever. Just every now and then, we've seen it across formats. He has the knack of breaking partnerships, of picking wickets when no one else is picking wickets. Even on the last England tour of India, I think Ben Stokes bowled more than some of England's frontline pacers. And he was the only fast bowler on that tour, the 2018 it was, who actually looked like he could create some trouble. It was a shame he was not able to bowl more this time around because of his fitness problems. But yeah, just him bowling even a few overs every innings would sometimes lead to match turning contributions.
Yeah, I think all rounders are just so important in every form of cricket, and Ben Stokes is probably one of the best all rounders in the world. So having him back bowling is just so crucial for England, I think. But let's move on to a review of this series. It's been an amazing series, and it got off to such a great start for England, winning the first test in Hyderabad, and there was definite optimism because India were missing lots of kind of star players, weren't they? I mean, obviously Virat Kohli is the big one. KL Rahul as well, Mohammad Shami. Remind me if I'm missing any. I can't think right now.
Pant as well was missing.
And yeah. So yeah, missing key players. So yeah, that's why I wanted to start. Ayush, how impressed were you with how India dealt with that? And like, who were the most impressive debutants, in your opinion?
Wow, yeah. I first of all, really impressed with how they dealt with that. Because you had so many youngsters that even needed the leaders to really shine through and carry those youngsters along, make them feel like they belong here. And Rohit Sharma, Ashwin, Jadeja, Bumrah, all of these guys did a great job at that. But you're still missing some big names, right? Like you said, that even Bumrah missed that one test, and Jadeja missed a couple, and Kohli not there throughout, Rahul not there, Pant not there. All of these frontliners, all of these playing 11 members. So it was just so good from these debutants. Just shows the depth that we have right there, and all these guys, they just don't fear anything, right? They just feel like they belong on the stage. And yeah, I think for me, it's a tough one. I mean, so much is said about Sarfaraz, that dream debut, and there was a call for to have him in the test team for such a long time. Padikkal, was so good. Just the one opportunity that he got, he looked like he belongs there. And then just a classical lefty playing that cover drive is a thing of beauty. But Akashdeep with the ball, that chance that he got, picked up a 4-wicket haul. But I think for me, it was Dhruv Jurel, the most impressive debutant, because a couple of very, very crucial innings, as we saw, I think in that fourth test match, was it? Or was it third? I can't remember exactly. But yeah, in one of those test matches, he got a 90 and then came in the second innings as well, needed a partnership and stuck there, did his job. And so good behind the stumps. You know, Rishabh Pant has really improved as a wicketkeeper over the years, but this from a young man in his on his debut series was just so good to watch. And just the overall body language of Dhruv Jurel, the way he batted, the way he kept, how involved he was in each and every game, each and every innings. For me, I think Dhruv Jurel, everyone was impressive, but I think Jurel was the most impressive debutant.
Yeah, especially with Bharat doing really well before him as well. Obviously, didn't do as much with the bat, but yeah, Jurel looks like a really exciting player. And you just keep producing all these amazing players, don't you? I mean,
Yeah, look at Yashasvi.
England, yeah, of course, yeah. I mean, England don't quite have that luxury of depth, do they? Toby, there were definitely, positives from the series despite losing 4-1, and the debutants and the kind of fringe players. Well, probably that highlight and a nice surprise. But yeah, who impressed you the most out of all those new players for England?
Yeah, I mean, I'll start with Jurel. I think that's a great shout from Ayush. I mean, the fact that he was their fourth choice keeper probably at the beginning of the series, with Pant obviously out injured for quite a while, probably number one. KL Rahul had the gloves most recently before the series. KS Barrett had them at the beginning of the series, and then Jurel, I guess, in there at fourth. And I mean, I wouldn't have been surprised if maybe there were even other players in between as well that he managed to leapfrog in that time. England wise, I think it's probably got to go to Shoaib Bashir. I mean, it's what between him and Hartley, I guess, as your two sort of major debutants. And I think Bashir outbowled him in all three games that he played in. Hartley, I think, was very, very good. And I think it's quite an impressive skill that he managed to play all five games. Took 22 wickets, highest wicket taker for England. But I think Bashir just looked like a better spinner to me. He looked a lot more dangerous when he had when he was actually landing in the right areas more of the time. He perhaps wasn't quite as economical, but I think that's something that perhaps comes with it. And also the fact that Tom Hartley had that sort of the luck of the first game where he took a 7 for, which we completely forget about to mention that he took 7 for on debut, which in itself is absolutely brilliant. But I think Bashir is the more exciting spinner for me. I don't think that necessarily means that he's going to be England's number one spinner come the summer. Probably not even necessarily number two or number three spinner, just for the fact that Hartley has bowled so well and has been very, very good out here, and he can bat as well as Rehan Ahmed as well. Not to mention Will Jacks, Liam Dawson, and there are quite a few spinners left at home too. But I think he looks like the most complete spinner of the three sort of young guys in there at the moment. And I think he's probably still a lot more to develop, but I have high hopes for him in the future, and how he might continue to develop as well.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, he's definitely exciting. They just kind of plucked him out of nowhere, didn't they? England, Shoaib Bashir. Like, no one really expected his call up. And he performed really well. Took that 5 for, I want to say, in the fourth test. Really, really bowled really well. Yeah, Ayush, what did you make of England's kind of spinners and looking forward with Leach, Hartley, Ahmed, who do you think is kind of the strongest out of them?
Yeah, it's a tough one to pick, you know, the strongest among them, but I don't know, I see a lot of promise, like Toby absolutely spot on with what he said there with guys like Hartley and Bashir. Again, for me, completely agree with Toby, but Bashir, the most impressive debutant for England. But I really like what Hartley can bring this team as a whole all-rounder. So I think that his batting really plays in his favor, Tom Hartley, going forward, because some of those innings he looked really assured there. And yeah, he'll just get better. But yeah, Spin bowling wise, I think Shoaib Bashir the most impressive. It's tough to say. I mean, because Leach has the experience. Rehan Ahmed's good as well. It's just a shame he's not gotten to play as much because this series was the opportunity, right, to play a lot more regularly. But there was a one game where he couldn't make it, and then he had to. I think just before the fourth test was it that he had to go back home due to personal reasons. So it was just a shame that there was too much going on there as well. Couldn't play as much as he potentially would have. But yeah, because that's another guy who I'd like to see get a longer run. Because Rehan Ahmed, yes, someone really exciting as well. I'd like to see him. And again, someone who's good with the bat too. And you need those kind of contributions down the order. Shoaib Bashir showed a little bit of promise, I think, in that fifth test with the bat. He did decently. He wasn't bad. He looked like an improvement. And even he knows that. I'm pretty sure that if he wants, with all of this competition that we're talking about, if he wants to get really stuck into this England 11, he's going to have to improve his batting. I'm pretty sure he's going to be the first one to realize that. He'll work on it. But bowling-wise, I think Shoaib Bashir, I would really like to see him get much more of a go in the future regularly. Because just to do this in the situation that he came in whatever, I mean, whatever the visa situation and whatever happened over there, it's still tough on a 20-year-old, right? To come in and then, because even before the series, all eyes are on you. And then you have to come in, perform, hardly any experience playing at anywhere remote to this level before that, comes in and produces such a good performance. So, yeah, you can see that the mentality is there. I'd just like to see if he can make the most of it.
Yeah, I think the one thing we do have to add, I think it's very, very likely Jack Leach will be the number one spinner and probably should be the number one spinner when the tests come around in June or July or whatever it is. And I think you have to accept how well the young guys have done, Bashir, Ahmed and Hartley. They have been brilliant for what they have. But when you compare it to, first of all, the Indian spinners, who are probably three of the top five spinners in the world right now in Test match cricket, they didn't quite stand up to that level. And you don't expect them to because they are so young and so inexperienced. But I think even when you compare them to Leach in that first Test match, Leach does just have that's so much more control, so much more ability to hold down ends, which in England is absolutely crucial in itself. And I think the experience as well, I think these guys will learn so much from Leach and also from their county teammates. I mean, Tom Hartley's got Nathan Lyon this summer at Lancashire with him, which will be really interesting to see if he can learn anything from him, because that'll be a really interesting skill if he can try and develop a bit more overspin perhaps or some other skills that Lyon has. And obviously Bashir and Leach are both at Somerset together. So I think you have to keep an eye out to see how they'll develop this year. But I think Leach will almost certainly be that number one spinner come the summer, just because, well, he is a better spinner when you actually take everything into account. But two years down the line, and particularly next winter when we go back out to Pakistan, I think these guys will come straight back into the squad. Rehan Ahmed as well. You might even see Will Jacks get a recall. And I think it is exciting to see how many young spinners there are. Even if they don't get the biggest opportunity in the county championship, there are still so many young spinners coming through that have an opportunity to develop. And actually, Bazball and Brendan McCullum and Ben Stokes really try and develop these young guys. So hopefully in the next 3 or 4 years, they will be really, really good and get a lot better.
Yeah, I mean, you mentioned there this kind of weird thing where Hartley will be back up to Nathan Lyon, right? I mean, they could play together, of course, but and Bashir with Leach as well in the County Championship. Do you think that will kind of hinder them going forward? Because McCullum's was saying they need to play, they need to develop, they're still young. And of course, they need to play. You know, every sportsman in the world needs to play as much to develop. So yeah, what do you make of that kind of situation?
Yeah, I think there's pros and cons to each side. I've already mentioned that actually learning from these guys, you will learn so much just by being around them. And I'm from what I've heard about Bashir, he's an absolute badger. He loves it. He'll be asking question after question after question, trying to learn, trying to develop as fast as he can. I assume Hartley's fairly similar as well, and it'll be the same up in Lancashire. But they also will have to play, because that is the only way you can develop as a spinner, is to get more reps in, to get more overs in your legs, to really learn different conditions, really try and play different styles as well. In the fact that in England in the early season, you're very, very, very unlikely to have any pitch that will give you any assistance, or many pitches that will give you any assistance. So they will have to try and learn skills like that, where they'll just have to bowl for a few overs. They'll be second or third fiddle behind all of the seamers, all the dibbly dobblers out there. And I think that they will have to try and learn skills in that way, to try and contain, to try and stop just batters going out there and trying to absolutely blast them out of the park. And that will come with playing more than training, but you have to have that training alongside it. I think they'll likely be sent out on loan somewhere. They kind of have to be. I don't know where exactly we'll need spinners, because a lot of counties do bring in overseas pros for top spinners. I mean, you look at Essex with Simon Harmer, who has been the most successful, the most prolific spin bowler in the county championship for the past decade, basically. He's been brilliant over there. I mean, I'm sure that there are options. I mean, interestingly, Surrey with Will Jacks, 2 years ago, 3 years ago, Will Jacks wasn't a spin bowler. He was a frontline batter who maybe gave you a bit of off spin part time, a bit like Joe Root. And now, 2 years later, he is Surrey's frontline spinner. He bowls a load. Dan Lawrence is now there as well, who might get a bit more opportunity with that, as I'd love to bring it up. And yeah, it'll be interesting to see maybe where they might have to go on loan to try and find some game time. But I'm sure there will be lots of options around the country, who lots of counties who have seen how good these two guys are, and will want to try and give them something, particularly with Tom Hartley's batting, I think is key. When you're playing in the early season as a spinner, you're not going to bowl that often. Having that ability with the bat, knowing that he can bat at eight, bat at seven, even possibly. And I mean, who knows, he might even bat higher up at times. The fact that he can bat will be absolutely crucial to counties thinking about him and trying to get him in, alongside the fact that he's now taken Test fivers. He's taken 22 wickets in an international series in India. It's a great sort of CV to have for these young guys, and they will need to try and find a way into a county anywhere, really, just to try and get some game time. Otherwise, they do have no chance of playing for England in the summer.
Can I just have a definition of a dibbly dobbler, please?
Dibbly dobbler definition would be someone who bowls in the sort of the mid 70s, or in the 70s generally, I'd say. You can sort of just about sort of 78 is maybe the top end of it. They basically hit a good line and a good length outside off stump, top of off stump, and just use the seam to try and move the ball either way. Tim Murtagh, I would say, is a prime dibbly dobbler. He bowls about 72, 73 miles an hour, and somehow takes 30, 40 wickets minimum a season in the county championship every year, because he's just that
You learn something new every day.
good.
One player is definitely not a dibbly dobbler. Jimmy Anderson. He reached 700 wickets in the
Jimmy Anderson,
series.
he's not there yet. He's on his way down to be a dibbly dobbler. Give him another 5 or 6 years, maybe. If he's still playing when he's 50, he's probably gonna be a dibbly dobbler at that time.
Okay.
Probably will be
Well,
playing when he's 50, looking at his fitness.
true. I mean, his 700 wickets stat is probably never going to be beaten, with kind of franchise cricket coming in, test dying out. What an amazing statistic. Ayush, where does Jimmy rank for you in terms of kind of all-time pace bowlers?
Number one, absolutely. I mean, yeah, I you know, going by personal favorites, my personal favorite has always been Dale Steyn. Dale Steyn has always been my most favorite Test match bowler, but Jimmy Anderson is the GOAT, definitely. There's absolutely, I mean, he was before the series as well, before 700 as well. With the 700th, it just this adds so much to the legend, right? 700 wickets for a fast bowler, still playing at the age of 41 is incredible. You know, I know he would have been a lot more special had he gotten the 700th at home, but to get it in that setting with the Himalayan range behind you in one of the most beautiful stadiums in the world is also a good consolation, I would say. I mean, that stadium, that view is just incredible. It's a lovely Such a lovely place for to get a milestone as well, for Ashwin Bairstow to play their seven to play their 100 tests, and for Jimmy to get his 700th. But yeah, legend, absolute legend, no doubt about that, and definitely the GOAT, the greatest of all time fast bowler in Test cricket. 700 is just amazing. I know, I mean, it's probably not gonna happen, but it would have been so amazing to see him break Muralidharan's 800. But yeah, I mean, I don't see that happening. But again, it's Jimmy Anderson. We said that about him 5 years ago, and here he is at the age of 41 getting his 700. So yeah, it would have been nice seeing him get to 800 as well. Let's see.
Yeah, Toby, is he your goat?
Oh, this is a tough one. I think for the players that I've ever seen play, he definitely has to be. But I mean, when you look at some of the West Indian bowlers in the 80s, and I mean some of the even Glenn McGrath, players like that were unbelievable. I think the biggest thing that I love about Jim is his longevity. The fact he's played for tw over 20 years of Test match cricket at the highest level, averaging what 25 with the ball, 26 with the ball, I think it is. And has been absolutely brilliant almost every year, and has gotten better, it seems. His average has come down over the last few years, which is fantastic. I think 704 to overtake Shane Warne is a definite, touch wood, probability. As long as he plays, I think he could, in theory, do it next Test match. Because, I mean, it's in England. He's against the West Indies, who have quite a weak batting lineup. There's an opportunity there to get to the 800, as Ayush mentioned. I think will be an absolute task. He'll have to play probably for another 2 or 3 years, taking what 50 wickets in 2 calendar years would be unbelievable if he does. I think it's probably more likely he ends up under 750. But yeah, I think he's been absolutely fantastic. He's probably England's best ever, but no, he is England's best ever seam bowler, probably England's best ever bowler, full stop. And he's possibly England's best ever cricketer. In so many ways, the fact that yeah, he has been so good for so long. When you look at, he's won in India, he's won in Australia, he's taken 700 wickets. He's won. Has he won World Cups? Was he part of the T20 World Cup in 2010? Maybe not. But he has been so dominant for so long and so good that I think he probably is at least a sort of top three England all-time cricketer.
Is a knighthood coming soon?
I think
He
once he
deserves it, yeah.
retires, it will come through, I'd have thought.
Yeah.
I don't think you can give him best England cricketer of all time because he can't bat. To be the best cricketer, he needs to be able to do everything. So I think it's Ben Stokes or
Ian Botham.
Beefy, Ian Botham, yeah.
I mean, statistically, Alistair Cook's going to be out there. A bowling average of 7 is pretty hard to beat.
That's like Virat Kohli in the World Cup, though, isn't it?
Exactly.
But I mean, Alistair Cook, I just read a stat the other day where the last time England won a series in both India and Australia, Alistair Cook was at the heart of it and he got 300s of, I think, was it 400s in both of those series. So again, two very big monumental test series results in England's history, and Cook was at the center of it.
True, true. But
So.
looking ahead to the summer, tests against Sri Lanka and West Indies at home, what areas do you think England need to kind of make some changes? I mean, obviously, there's the Bairstow conundrum. Do you play Folkes, Bairstow, Brook? And then there's the bowlers. I mean, we've got Potts, Tongue, Turner, Wood, Jofra Archer, maybe, Gus Atkinson, Ollie Robinson, some serious options there. Toby, who do you want to see come in the summer?
It's a tough one. I think Harry Brook has to bat at number five for me. There is no scenario in the world where he doesn't bat at five if he's fit. I think he is just a better player than Bairstow. He's younger than Bairstow. He's going to be in this England team for the next decade. You have to get him in there. Whether Bairstow takes the gloves over Folkes, different question. I am a Folkes fanboy. I will put it out there. I love Ben Folkes. And I think just the fact that his keeping is so much better than Bairstow just brings so much more to the team. Bairstow has to average at least 5, possibly 10 more with the bat to really make that difference, which he can do. And when he's on song and when he's performing well and batting well, he definitely can do. It's whether he can get back into that form and whether Ben Folkes can do the same, which I think he can do in England. He's proven that he's a very good batter. He's a capable batter. He's not as explosive as Folk as Bairstow, but I'm standing by Folkes, and I forever will do. Bowling wise, I think Ollie Robinson will almost immediately come straight back into the side. It's probably taking the new ball alongside Jimmy in the summer, which will be interesting to see. how he can develop and if he can get that fitness back, because he looked very, very poor again. And obviously he was unmatch fit because he hadn't played any games in 6 months when he played that fourth test. But I think you do have to ask questions. If he's not fit and ready to go by the time of that first test match in the West Indies, something's gone horribly wrong, and you have to ask questions of him. I think he will be, because he does seem to love playing for England. And I think he is a very, very good test match bowler. I think he's very, very skillful, and he could be a very, very dangerous partner alongside Jimmy. Third seamer is yet again another question. With Stokes hopefully fit and bowling again, which will be great to see, you probably want to get someone a bit more with a bit more pace. So Mark would probably retain his place there. Gus Atkinson, as you mentioned, I'd love to see. Josh Tonk, I think, is a fantastic bowler. I love him. I think he has that raw pace, which we love. He's a sort of 87, 88 mile an hour bowler. But he also seems to have a lot of skill, which is really good to see. Interestingly, he is the last bowler to take a Test fifer at Lords, which I think you can't forget as well. He did against Ireland, so maybe less interesting. But I think he bowled really well there against the Aussies. So I'd be very tempted to give him at least a couple Test matches this summer and see how he goes against what is quite a fragile West Indies batting lineup. So he's my outside bet to play a couple Test matches and to maybe have a sort of summer of brilliance.
Yeah, I mean, and Potts as well was really impressive for the England Lions against India B, I believe. So let's move on. I feel like this has been very England-centric. So let's go into the series awards. We'll start off with, let's go with debutant of the series. We've kind of already touched on that, actually, haven't we? Ayush, he's going for Jarrell.
Yeah, Jarrell for me, definitely.
Toby?
Yeah, I think I would also go for Jarrell, actually. I mean, I talked about Bashir so much, and he was brilliant, but the fact that Jarrell didn't necessarily win them that fourth Test match, but without his runs and without his performance in there, England could have got themselves right back into the series. Two all going into the third, into the fifth, is a very, very different matter than 3-1 down with no ability to get back in it. And I think England's performance would have been a lot better in that fifth match if they had the ability to get something out of the series. So I think his performance there with his fantastic 90 and a few stumpings, a few catches, and he knocked it off at the end, didn't he? With Shubman Gill, I think it was. Yeah, you're 39 not out. Yet again, absolutely crucial. So I think Jarrell was absolutely brilliant and is probably going to be taking the gloves for a good few years within this India side, possibly with Pant just batting. So we'll have to see how maybe that develops as well over the few years.
Yeah, I'm going Sarfraz Khan, I think. I really liked Sarfraz Khan. Ever since he came in that first game, I just think he looked so composed and steady with the bat. Just trying to find. Yeah, I mean, he averaged 50 across the test, so really impressive. Just looks really good. I think he'll have a great career. But Jarrell wins it two votes to one. Bowler of the series, bit of a different one. I know who I'm voting for. Ayush, who are you going for?
Tough one, you know. I mean, if you see the wickets and things like that, yeah, Ashwin, I think, topped the wickets charts there. I think we got 26 wickets. Tom Hartley, very impressive, 22 wickets as well. But for me, Kuldeep was, I think, the bowler of the series. Some really interesting contributions from him. With the bat as well, his batting's really improved. That's another topic, probably for another day. But I think Kuldeep Yadav's bowling was just so impressive. Because, yeah, when Jadeja also sat out, needed more from him, and he stood up. Ashwin was also not throughout at his very best, and there was that one time when Ashwin was going through something personally as well, and of course, you can't really rely on him to do the job for you all the time in such situations. Kuldeep stood up. That fifth test was just so brilliant. So yes, I think some really good contributions. Bashir, Ashwin, Jadeja always, but I'm gonna have to give it to Kuldeep Yadav.
Okay,
He's
Toby.
just improved so much as a test bowler.
I think Holy has been brilliant and is really push himself forward to in theory be that number one spinner for India, which is crazy to think at the beginning of the series. I mean, we talked about Jarrell being the fourth choice keeper. He was the fourth choice spinner behind Jadeja, behind Axar, who has now dropped out of it completely, and behind Ashwin, who he probably still is behind. For me, I think Kuldeep's a great shout. Just for a point of difference, I'm actually going Bumrah, I think was brilliant. I think when you look at key moments within the series, Jasprit Bumrah was at the heart of them. That 6 foot in the second test match to rip through England was possibly the changing point of the series. England had scraped a victory and a really well, hard-fought victory in that first test match. If they'd got on a bit of a roll, and they could have won that second one, had it not been for Bumrah just ripping through the top order on that first morning. He took a 6 for brilliantly. Sorry, not the first morning, in the third morning, whatever it was. Ripped through England's top order. 6 for 45. And yeah, took all of the middle order, basically got Pope down to Stokes, all of those four. And yeah, was absolutely crucial in stopping what could have been quite a strong England's point, England, what could have been a strong England performance. And yeah, he really, really popped up when it mattered, which I think is what you have to look for in bowlers of the series.
Yeah, I'm gonna go for Bumrah, I think. Just because of what you just said, Toby. Like he where in the big moments he was just so deadly. And Ashwin and Kuldeep, really good as well. They're my honourable mentions. But yeah, Bumrah for me is the winner. Next up, England's player of the series, because we're not gonna win the player of the series. I'm gonna start. I'm going Zach Crawley because he's the man. Averaged, I think he averaged above 50. Just really consistent starting. He couldn't turn the kind of 70s into the, hundreds, but I think he's really improved his consistency, and him and Duckett are looking like a really strong opening partnership. Notable mention, I guess, Tom Hartley, Bashir. Root picked it up a bit towards the end, but yeah, slim pickings really. Duckett and Pope obviously had those two big innings as well, but yeah, I'm going Crawley. Toby, who are you going for?
I think I'll have to follow you. I don't think there are many players within the side who have necessarily helped their reputation over the last month and a half, other than Zach Crawley. I think he's been brilliant. I think Ollie Pope, after the first day, basically, or the first few days of that first game, really his stocks rose massively. He was absolutely massive. Everyone thought he could do no wrong, but he's basically flopped for the rest of the series, which is a bit of a shame. Ben Duckett, yet again, had a one massive knock, and it was a brilliant 150. But he's not really been as strong as Crawley, which is kind of surprising because he's a much better player of spin generally. I think everyone thought he would have a better opportunity. Joe Root, yeah, as you say, picked it up in the final few games, but didn't really have that performance that you'd hope for someone of his caliber. On the bowling front, the two young spinners, Bashir and Hartley, I think have definitely they've upped themselves. They are massive, but they are there's probably partly because they were so low to begin with. I don't think anyone really expected much, and they just outperformed that expectation. Jimmy, kind of what you'd expect, and yeah, Rian Ahmed did all right, but nothing massive again. And I think Zach Crawley is the only player to really better himself throughout the series. Because he's been so consistent, as you mentioned, 450s in the five matches is very impressive. 400 runs. The next closest is Ben Duckett with 340. And yeah, I think if Crawley could have pushed on and made a big 100, he could have made a massive impact in the series, but didn't quite have that option. I think part of that probably is the fact that he didn't really have anyone else batting with him for half the time. So it's a bit of a shame to see he couldn't quite push on, but I think he has been England's standout performer by quite some distance.
Yeah, I used to agree.
Yeah, absolutely. I was confused between a little bit between Crawley and Tom Hartley, and I was a bit tempted to say Tom Hartley just for a different point of view, but no, I think it's Zach Crawley. Definitely consistency, like you mentioned, Michael. He just looks more assured now, and his consistency's improved so much. And yeah, whatever can be said about Baz Ball or the way it didn't work in the series, it is this Stokes-McCullum partnership that has actually led to Zach Crawley, as we've seen since the start of this era. Zach Crawley's really flourished as a batter, and big credit to the captain and the coach for that.
Yeah, 100%. Bit of a different one, this one. Biggest loser of the series. I'll start off. I'm going Shreyas Iyer, because at the start of the series, he was kind of he was starting, wasn't he? And then had a couple of bad games, and he was just instantly straight out of the team. And am I right in saying he didn't get given a contract or
Yeah,
something?
no central contract for him this year.
Yeah, so that's my biggest loser of the series. Also, Rehan Ahmed is a mention because I think he came into this series young, promising spinner. For me, he looked like the best of this new generation of England spinners. But I think Bashir and Hartley have kind of just gone ahead of him in the pecking order in this series. And it's not really his fault. He had to go home for the personal issues. He did. He batted well. I think he looked really good with the bat. And he bowled pretty decently. But yeah, no, he didn't have the kind of series that Hartley and Bashir would have. But yeah, no, my loser is Shreyas Iyer. Aish, who's yours?
Yeah, I think both those very, very good shouts from you on players would be disappointed. Wouldn't say that entirely were disappointing, but would be really disappointed with every how these the course of the series turned out. Yeah, Shreyas, very good shout, but I'll say Akshar Patel because, yeah, I mean he's right up there, right? You know, when you think Ashwin, Akshar, the trio was always Ashwin, Jadeja, Akshar Patel. One of them is not playing. Akshar is, is even elevated in the hierarchy of just the hierarchy and how important he is. And suddenly now, the next time India play at home, which I believe will be the Border Gavaskar Trophy against Australia at the end of this year, he won't feature in the playing 11 if both Ashwin and Jadeja are playing. Yes, Akshar Patel in the future with Ashwin the closest. I mean, the one among him and Jadeja who seems like he'll retire the earliest, probably given age and everything. And then Akshar Patel will get his chance. But yeah, he's fallen, I think, through the series, just really fell down in the pecking order. Just a couple of games, not much in those games as well. Yeah, just, averaging what I think was it 41 in those two games that he played with the ball. And didn't work out a lot for him. And yeah, as long as Ashwin Jadeja are both around, and we're seeing with India so much talent in the spin department as well, it's tough for him now. He suddenly is not an assured playing 11 member even in home conditions.
Toby, who's your loser?
Yeah, I was thinking Axar as well, actually. I think that's a very, very good point made there by Aish. I'm gonna go for a different left arm spinner though. I'm actually gonna go for Jack Leach, which might be a bit of a surprise because he hasn't taken part much in the series. He got obviously got injured in the first game and hasn't played since. But I think the fact that he hasn't been there and England have done okay, particularly in the spin department, and Bashir and Hartley and Ahmed are very, very competent spinners. They've proven themselves in many ways. They're not the finished article by any means, but the fact that there are now a lot of calls, particularly from cricket Twitter, which maybe isn't the most reliable source, or the reliable information, but there's a lot of people who want, Hartley or Bashir to be England's number one spinner, or even Ahmed over Jack Leach, which I think is very, very unlucky. It's probably incorrect as well, and I don't think he will, as I've already mentioned. But the fact that England have now proven that there are a lot of other spinners out there who could maybe vie for that spot, the likely one spot of the spinner in the coming summer. So I think he's possibly one of the biggest losers from the series. And there's not much he can actually do about it. The fact that he's gotten injured, it's tough. He's had a fair few injuries, I guess, is one thing you could maybe say that perhaps he's not his conditioning isn't quite perfect, and that maybe he sort of isn't 100% fit because he's getting injured because he isn't 100% fit. So maybe you can put it that way. I don't really know. That's all speculation. But I think he's possibly a bit of a loser. And I think perhaps another big loser is the Bazball sort of brain foundation. You know, Ben Stokes and Brendan McCullum and the coaching staff. The fact that what seemed infallible just a few months ago before the Ashes, they went and lost the first two games there. They've luckily picked it back up and seemed to win back round a lot of the fans. But they've gone to India, where I think a lot of people, maybe more fans than experts, kind of gave them a decent chance. I mean, me included, I thought they could have performed well, and I think they showed glimpses of it. But there seemed to be a few mistakes, a few wrong calls that perhaps wasn't quite what you expect and what England fans have come to expect over the last 2 years of Bazball. So I think they're possibly on the edge. If they don't win five or four or five of the matches this summer, I think there could be a few interesting calls, and then it'll be a long what year of Pakistan and New Zealand away, two very tough places to go, and then you've got India at home the following summer in 18 months, which will be a really big series, and then Ashes down under. So they really need to probably try and find that form that they had right at the beginning of Bazball, when they annihilated New Zealand and they battered South Africa, to really have 100% faith, I think, from the fans again. So maybe there's a few question marks there. I don't think there are massive ones, and I don't think Rob Key will make changes, but I think there's a few thoughts there to process.
Yeah, some good shouts there, definitely. I mean, finally, player of the series. I think we all know who it is. We haven't mentioned him at all in this episode, saving it
Akash
for
Deep, of
this.
course.
Yeah, of course. No, it's Yashasvi Jaiswal.
Perfect.
Yeah, sorry, I butchered that a little bit. But Ayush, how good was he?
Unbelievable. I mean, yeah, you did expect him to have or he needed to have a good series because of this so much competition in the Indian batting depth, this entire circuit, especially playing at home. But he had a series that I mean, no one's going to forget for a long time. Broke so many of these records of most runs for an Indian opener in a test series ever. And the number of sixes that he hit throughout the series was also, again, some sort of a record. And he just kept breaking records. I mean, 700 runs in the series is no joke, wherever you're playing, even though you're playing at home. And yeah, some of the wickets you saw were some of your other frontline, more experienced batters really struggling. And comes this 22, 23-year-old youngster and shows everyone else how to bat on the wicket. And yeah, I think his maturity as well, knowing when to play, you know, to go into his shell, when to just defend, knowing when to absolutely go after the bowlers. That at this age and at this stage of his career, most impressive in my opinion. But yeah, just what a series. I mean, he just doesn't have the hunger for runs, big runs, and that's going to be very important for him going forward. Really excited to see how his career pans out, especially overseas, because that's the biggest challenge wherever you go, especially England, Australia, New Zealand, South Africa. He did play in South Africa earlier in the year. You could see that, yeah, that was the first taste of really that tough international test cricket for him. You don't expect anyone to be really good or have a great series in such conditions, but he showed glimpses. And yeah, I think this, even though it was at home, is just going to help his confidence. And yeah, the next time we go overseas is when I'm really excited to see what Yashasvi can bring to the table.
I think that's very well summed up from Ayush. I think the one thing you have forgotten, though, and you really can't forget when you're talking about a players of greatness like Jaiswal, is the effect that Ben Duckett's had on him specifically. Just it's absolutely crucial to how he scored 712 runs. He might have scored two double hundreds before Ben Duckett 150, but we don't talk about that.
I'd like to quote Rohit Sharma there. He
Yeah.
said before that fifth test that I don't think Ben Duckett has seen a guy called Rishabh Pant who used to play for us. And it's like, that's classic Rohit Sharma in press conferences. But yeah, Ben Duckett, that was interesting. A bit of spice to the series.
Yeah, I think that was one of the worst kind of quotes to come out of the series, wasn't it? Jesus, Ben Duckett. What are you on about, mate? Anyway, better wrap it up there. So that's the end of our India against England coverage. What a series it was. We're moving on now to the IPL and the WPL. IPL kicking off on the 22nd of March. WPL is ongoing as we speak. We had our first WPL episode out today, I believe. It went out this morning, which will be yesterday. So yeah, stay tuned for our WPL and IPL coverage. And yeah, thanks for joining me, guys, and see you next time.